This is an audio version of Strengthening Resilience to AI Risk, a Guide for UK Policymakers by Ardie Janjeva et al. It's a paper produced by the Centre for Emerging Technology and Security and the Centre for Long-Term Resilience, published in August 2023. It's one of the core readings for the AI Safety Fundamentals course. This recording is an excerpt. It begins with page 15, AI Risk Pathways. To identify and prioritise practical policy action, this paper focuses on the contexts in which communities and wider society are most likely to experience harm because of AI, and at which point in the AI lifecycle risks become most prominent. We categorise risks based on the stage of the AI lifecycle at which they may occur: design, training and testing, immediate deployment and usage, and longer-term deployment and diffusion. There will, of course, be several smaller stages within these three broad categories, and some risks will cut across categories. Our risk mapping here is not intended to be exhaustive, but rather to give an overview of a range of risks that can arise, and how our framework can help with identifying risks more systematically. There's an image here, Figure 1, AI Lifecycle Stages and Risk Pathways. This is a table with columns for the different lifecycle stages, and the risk pathways associated with those, and then some examples of each. The three lifecycle stages are again design, training and testing, deployment and usage, and longer-term deployment and diffusion. For the first, design, training and testing, the risk pathways are data privacy, example, Italy ChatGPT investigation, security vulnerabilities, example, Bing Chat prompt injection attacks, environmental risks, example, Amazon Echo case study, dangerous capabilities and misalignment, example, InstructGPT and goal misgeneralization, in quotes. In the deployment and usage stage, one risk pathway, accidents and irresponsible deployment, example, transportation and traffic control. Risk pathway, malicious uses, example, creation of bioweaponry. Risk pathway, tolerance for error, example, behavioral analytics. And the final lifecycle stage, longer-term deployment and diffusion. Risk pathways, economy and employment, example, impact on precarious workers. Risk pathway, bias and discriminatory impact, example, policing and healthcare. Risk pathway, erosion of epistemic security and freedom of thought, example, 2024 US presidential campaigns. Risk pathway, geopolitical instability, example, escalating US-China tensions. And risk pathway, concentration of wealth and power, example, increasing dominance of industry in AI research. Audio note, the excerpt now skips the rest of Section 1, which contains detailed breakdowns and examples for all of these. We skip to Section 2, Achieving Resilience in the Domestic AI Policy Landscape. The risk pathways outlined above raise important questions for policymakers seeking to make sense of the AI landscape. Considering this range of pathways, the primary goal for policymakers should be to prevent associated harms from materialising as early as possible, while bolstering resilience to minimise damage in the event that AI does inflict harm. There's an image here, Figure 2, an illustration of how risk mitigation hierarchies can be used to prioritise different strategies to address harmful impacts. It's in the form of a pyramid. It says, "Pyramid shows a range of approaches to acting against a form of risk." So at the wide base of the pyramid, we have avoid. Then moving up the pyramid and getting more narrow, we have minimize, rectify, reduce, and offset. And there's an arrow saying that they're in order of decreasing preference. So the most preference is to avoid, then minimize, then rectify, then reduce, and finally offset with the least preference. Back to the text. Policy interventions will be most effective if they intervene at the point in the life cycle where risk first arises. While many risks will be sector and context specific, we're seeing increasing potential and use of general purpose systems, where risky features of these systems, emergent capabilities, bias, lack of interpretability, surprising failures, contribute to downstream harms. This demonstrates a need for concurrent policy action to address novel risks from such frontier models, in quotes, alongside more familiar risks from established and use case specific machine learning models. To this end, this section describes three main categories of AI policy interventions and maps these to the key stages of development and training, deployment and usage, and long-term effects of deployment. 1. Creating visibility and understanding. 2. Promoting best practices. And 3. Establishing incentives and enforcing regulation. Here's more detail for each of those. 1. Creating visibility and understanding. Managing risks effectively requires visibility into technical progress and where risks arise as part of that progress. Most of this information remains contained within industry, so enhanced transparency and reporting is essential from those at the forefront of AI research and development. Incentives for model developers to provide visibility are often limited, so policy interventions will be crucial in achieving this, albeit in ways that do not unduly restrict innovation. 2. Promoting best practices. Policymakers must work in collaboration with AI system designers, academics, and impacted groups to build consensus regarding best practices in the development and deployment of AI systems. And 3. Establishing incentives and enforcing regulation. Incentives and enforcement regimes are required to ensure the adoption of these best practices. Incentives may include allocating public resources and funding for initiatives that increase understanding and adoption of safety measures, while enforcement may involve legislative rules and penalties to mandate adherence to best practices. There's a diagram here, Figure 3, policy levers across AI lifecycle stages. So this is a 3x3 grid. On one side, we have the three lifecycle stages: design, training and testing, deployment and usage, and longer-term deployment and diffusion. And on the other side, we have the three policy levers: creating visibility and understanding, promoting best practices, and establishing incentives and regulation. So there are 9 squares that show how these interact. For the first, in the design, training and testing phase, creating visibility and understanding, examples are model reporting and information sharing, third-party auditing ecosystem, and direct engagement with industry bodies. Still in that same phase, design, training and testing, we have promoting best practices, organizational governance and developer risk management guidelines, model design standards, and privacy-preserving training and audits. And still in design, training and testing, for establishing incentives and regulation, we have AI assurance ecosystem, public R&D funding allocation, and licensing or registering developers. In the deployment and usage phase, creating visibility and understanding, we have incident sharing and AI bounties. For promoting best practices, we have pre-deployment checklists and post-deployment monitoring, and pre-deployment demonstrations and deliberative processes. And for establishing incentives and regulations, we have articulating red lines, in quotes, export controls, and legal liability. And in the third phase, longer-term deployment and diffusion, for creating visibility and understanding, we have measuring job displacement from AI systems, evaluation of global AI innovation, and understanding public perceptions of AI. For promoting best practices, we have coordinated watermarking and AI-enabled authorship detection, legal exemptions for antitrust and safety cooperation, and developing public sector skills to recognize and address AI impacts. And for establishing incentives and regulation, we have investment screening, public compute resources, and redistributive economic policies. The text goes on. These three categories are intrinsically complementary, maximizing visibility and understanding regarding the capabilities and impacts of AI systems enables policymakers to promote best practices with a greater level of authority, ultimately meaning that they have a clear basis upon which to introduce incentives for developers and a stronger mechanism with which to hold developers accountable. Section 2.1, creating visibility and understanding. Policymakers, regulators, and oversight bodies require visibility of how AI systems are developed and deployed, where sources of risk and gaps in risk management exist, and, if these risks manifest into harms, how harms are felt by various sections of the public. Attaining a holistic understanding of AI capabilities and potentially dangerous tipping points is preferable to relying on proxy measures such as model parameters or financial investments, particularly if the AI models of the future are better at learning with less data and investment. The table below describes a series of policy options which would serve the objective of creating better visibility and understanding of AI systems amongst policymakers and regulators, mapping them against the lifecycle phases outlined in the previous section. Going through this table row by row, we have a lifecycle phase, development and training. Policy lever 1 is model reporting and information sharing. An anticipatory approach to AI policy may involve creating an information sharing regime between AI system developers and government bodies. In the UK, the value of information sharing is evident in domains such as cybersecurity. Relevant categories of sharing would include models' intended functionality, levels of compute usage during training, evaluation against performance benchmarks, and details about training datasets. This information could be summarized in model cards released in conjunction with new models and collated on a centralized model register where key decision makers are able to assess and review model details, thus making informed decisions on their utility and trustworthiness. Policy lever 2 for development and training is third-party auditing ecosystem. This is valuable for building trust regarding the robustness of risk management practices. For frontier AI capabilities, auditing based on high-risk capability evaluations may be particularly valuable for assessing accident, misuse, and emergent capability risks ahead of deployment. A multi-layered approach to AI auditing is advisable so that the model itself is scrutinized in addition to the governance and application procedures. Policymakers should encourage future growth in the auditing ecosystem to include the possible need for accreditation of auditors as trustworthy. Policy lever number 3 for development and training: direct engagement with industry bodies. New industry bodies, such as the Frontier Model Forum, are being set up by leading AI companies in an attempt to oversee safe development of the most advanced models. The extent to which government involvement in such bodies will be promoted is, as yet, unclear, but there should be a consistent approach across UK government to engagement with these bodies, featuring strong representation from the National Security Committee. Engagement with industry bodies should be complemented by engagement with workers' groups, representing the interests of those with less power within these organisations, for example, unions. Moving to the next row, we have deployment and usage. The first policy lever, incident sharing. A more systematic approach to collecting and analysing risk incidents, whether accidental or malicious, could illuminate crucial patterns that have long-term policy implications. The AI incident database is an existing third sector example of such a collection mechanism. Second policy lever, AI bounties. Modeled after bug bounties in software security, governments can clarify legality and support industry bounty programs that incentivize external researchers to identify and responsibly disclose risks of AI systems, including bias, unexpected behaviors, jailbreaks, and adversarial inputs. There are only two policy levers listed there, so we move to the next row, longer-term deployment and diffusion. First policy lever, measuring job displacement from AI systems. Having a real-time, economy-wide picture of the areas of the labour market approaching an inflection point for automation will be vital to an anticipatory policy approach. It will be important for policymakers to be aware of both job displacement and possible erosion of quality of work. The second policy lever, evaluation of global AI innovation. Policymakers need a rigorous mechanism for understanding the global pace of change in AI and its ramifications for the geopolitical landscape. Utilizing bibliometric analysis and the uplift in open source intelligence capabilities announced in the Integrated Review Refresh will be integral to this effort. And the third policy lever, understanding public perceptions of AI. As well as making developments in AI capability visible to policymakers, public attitudes towards AI should be tracked. A recent Alan Turing Institute and Ada Lovelace Institute collaboration exemplified how this could be done across the public at large. Beyond this, policymakers should pay particular attention to incorporating the views of those most harmed by the rollout of AI. This might include co-workers in the platform economy whose employment conditions have been worsened by algorithmic decision-making, creative professionals whose work has been used to power generative AI tools such as DALL-E and ChatGPT, and school students who have been impacted by discriminatory algorithmic marking of exams. Section 2.2, promoting best practices. As policymakers benefit from better visibility and understanding of the risks and opportunities presented by AI, they will be in a better position to identify and build upon best practice guidelines for the development, use, and governance of AI. At present, many of these best practices are developed within industry or by academia. Concerns have been raised over AI risk frameworks which either promote industry interests or are too embedded in academic theory to be practically useful. In this context, government can play an essential role in helping to build consensus across the AI ecosystem nationally and internationally, such that best practices are identified across the full range of sectors and promoted in a consistent manner. There's another table here, again showing the different lifecycle phases and different policy levers. For development and training, first policy lever is organizational governance and developer risk management guidelines. NIST's AI Risk Management Framework playbook addresses legal compliance, oversight and systems testing. An equivalent of this is required in the UK. Policy lever 2. Model design standards. Clearer guidelines on the necessary tests and evaluations and the results expected to verify that models meet a safety threshold would be particularly useful for the developer community. Ethical and professional standards should be included alongside technical requirements. And policy lever 3, privacy-preserving training and audits. To address data privacy concerns, technical approaches such as federated learning could enable more privacy-preserving model training. For lifecycle phase deployment and usage, policy lever 1 is pre-deployment checklists and post-deployment monitoring. In domains involving a higher risk of accidents or misuse, or where systems are required to have novel characteristics and may behave unpredictably, best practices for deployment are particularly important. This may involve pre-deployment checklists and post-deployment monitoring requirements for frontier AI systems and clearer communication regarding the security risks of open sourcing models of a certain capability level. And the second policy lever for deployment and usage, pre-deployment demonstrations and deliberative processes. For technologies that present transformative and disruptive potential, input from a broad range of perspectives may help flag societal concerns before deployment, guide deployment choices, and design anticipatory governance and mitigations. Measures such as public demonstrations and citizen assemblies can draw on broad societal perspectives and lead to better and more legitimate governance outcomes. And for the phase longer-term deployment and diffusion, policy lever 1, coordinated watermarking and AI-enabled authorship detection. A society-wide deterioration in the ability to produce, distribute, acquire, and access reliable information is a major concern. A coordinated approach to watermarking of AI-generated content and AI-enabled authorship detection are two key challenges which, if solved, could be pivotal to addressing the pollution in public discourse. Although the nature of the information ecosystem makes this a global endeavour, the UK could fund small-scale pilot projects to demonstrate proofs of concept. Second policy lever, legal exemptions for antitrust and safety cooperation. Concerns over antitrust regulation may prevent AI developers from sharing knowledge or coordinating best practices that could improve AI safety. Policymakers could explore legal exemptions that allow for safety-motivated collaboration between companies building AI systems, thereby reducing the chances of system flaws going unnoticed and unaddressed. And the third policy lever, developing public sector skills to recognise and address AI impacts. Officials in the public sector need to be upskilled, both to use AI tools to efficiently deliver public services and to improve understanding of the accompanying risks. With regard to LLMs, their outputs are heavily dependent on the formatting of the user's prompt or input, so training a user how to frame questions in the right way is essential. Additional private, academic, and civil society partnerships can address persistent skills gaps. Section 2.3, establishing incentives and enforcing regulation. Due to the vastly different incentive structures of industry, academia, and civil society, promoting best practices for the safe development and deployment of AI systems will often be insufficient on its own. To go further, government can encourage adherence to best practices and hold those developing and deploying systems accountable through a combination of soft incentives and enforced regulation. Soft incentives might include actions such as government-supported auditing or public availability of resources such as funding and compute for socially beneficial research. Legal enforcement may involve many components including liabilities, certifications, or licensing schemes for developers and deployers of high-risk AI systems. What levers are appropriate will depend on the level of risk being addressed and the extent to which existing incentives seem sufficient to lead to safe and responsible behaviour. There's another table here, again, lifecycle phases and policy levers. In the development and training phase, the first lever, AI assurance ecosystem. AI assurance is about building confidence or trust in AI systems. Third-party audits, AI standards and risk assessments can help to assess the properties of an AI system against a range of technical and ethical criteria. Much progress has been made towards compiling best practice in AI assurance by the OECD and Centre for Data Ethics and Innovation. A robust AI assurance ecosystem may require public sector procurement strategies mandating thorough testing of AI systems, independent oversight of industry assurances practices, and funding to improve existing tools and metrics for trustworthy AI. The second policy lever, public R&D funding allocation. A step change in the way that AI is integrated into the UK economy calls for a recalibration in the way that existing research funding vehicles allocate resources. This involves scaling up explicit pathways for research which focus on bias-reducing, privacy-protecting, and safety-improving approaches to AI. Additional streams of funding could be dedicated to foundational measurement theory for AI systems, which is likely to be necessary for creating accurate technical standards in this domain. And the third policy lever for development and training? Licensing or registering developers. Government-administrated licensing schemes could be part of an enforceable legal framework for filtering out the most ethically dubious AI use cases at an earlier stage. Licensing could be defined across several dimensions, including compute thresholds, capability evaluations, algorithm design, and intended use cases. A preliminary step to a licensing regime, which could take many years to develop and implement, could be a registration process, where the UK government gathers basic information about who is training the most sophisticated LLMs and whether there is substantial risk that their use might violate export controls or other laws. Analogously, corporations are subject to registration requirements which give people and businesses confidence in the integrity of financial transactions, as are companies handling nuclear materials for civilian purposes, and labs handling dangerous biological or chemical materials. For the deployment and usage phase, the first lever, articulating red lines, in quotes. There may be specific contexts where the integration of AI into decision-making functions will be undesirable for the foreseeable future. This is particularly true of autonomous agents, systems which can generate a sequence of tasks that a model works on until the desired goal, in quotes, is reached. Similarly, there may be red lines beyond which systems must not take an irreversible action without direct human oversight or authorization. Formalizing these in policy documents and/or codes of practice will be important. The second policy lever, export controls. These are tools of economic statecraft which could be used to limit who is able to purchase AI software and inputs for developing AI systems, such as advanced chips, developed in the UK. The UK government has shown an appetite for this already when working with the US government on blocking China's access to high-performance chip designs produced by Arm. And the third policy lever, legal liability. Laws regarding remedies for injuries, damages or harms caused by AI systems could have an important role to play in incentivizing AI developers, those actors with the most information about AI systems, to weigh potential societal harms against the desire for continued innovation. The EU's AI Liability Directive, for example, aims to create a rebuttable presumption of causality to ease the burden of proof for victims to establish damage caused by an AI system. And for longer-term deployment and diffusion, the first policy lever, investment screening. This is a tool designed to limit foreign influence over the trajectory of AI development in specific, often security-related contexts. Already, foreign-led AI and data infrastructure investments above a certain size are subject to mandatory review by the government's Investment Security Unit. Blocked deals have so far included Chinese-owned companies attempting to acquire UK-based companies working on robotic vision sensing technology, semiconductor chip design software, and semiconductor manufacturing technology. The second policy lever, public compute resources. Investment in such infrastructure could substantially lower the costs of training, testing, and evaluating AI models, thereby reducing the prospect of the most powerful models being heavily concentrated among a few companies. To minimize the risk of unsafe development, this would need significant guardrails, such as tiered access and model review requirements. And the third policy lever, redistributive economic policies. If advanced forms of AI pave the way for more widespread displacement rather than augmentation of labour, more serious consideration could be given to windfall clauses on companies with the greatest AI market share. Audio note, that's the end of the excerpt included in this reading. There were references and citations throughout this text in the form of footnotes. Those have been omitted from this recording for fluency. This was an audio version of Strengthening Resilience to AI Risk, a Guide for UK Policymakers by Ardi Janjeva et al., published in August 2023. It's a paper produced by the Centre for Emerging Technology and Security and the Centre for Long-Term Resilience.